We're trying to blow the dust off of all the procedures here, so sorry. Sure. If it's...
Oh, no, it's no problem at all.
It'll sound great. We're just a hot mess behind the scenes.
Welcome to the Mac DevOps YVR podcast. This podcast is about the Mac DevOps YVR conference in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. We interview guests and discuss topics around managing Macs using open source software products inspired by DevOps. Our goal is to encourage developers and IT to work together to solve problems for our community. For more information, see our website, mdoyvr.com. This is the Mac DevOps podcast. Well, we have the bots, we have the humans. I think we should start.
All right, let's start.
Okay. Welcome to the Mac DevOps podcast. It's been a while. Welcome back to We're Having a Conference podcast series, which is kind of like the last time we talked to Stuart. Today's guest is Stuart, famous for his Aftermath project, famous for being a Mac DevOps speaker, and famous for being in the security industry and working his way up to the top of the mountain of awesomeness. Welcome, Stuart. How are you doing?
Wow, what a lovely introduction. Thanks. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back. It's been a while.
We've been watching your career from afar, from the internets, you know, from there.
That's a great point. You've really seen it from pretty much its inception.
Yeah.
I've told the story a few times, but yeah, you met me when I was still in college trying to pivot into this industry. And yeah, I met you both at the first Objective by the Sea.
That's correct.
Yeah. You can meet cool people at conferences and watch them do awesome things. Me and JD watch people do cool things all the time and wish we could do that too. That's why we have a podcast, kids. How's it going, JD?
Those that can't teach or have a podcast, right? How's that work?
Yeah.
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. What happened? It's 2024.
Well, we survived a pandemic. We had a conference back live in 2023, and I think we're going to have a 10th anniversary here in 2024.
Yeah, that is insane.
10 years. I 10 years.
That's amazing. I remember just the other day saying, hey, would you come to Vancouver if I organized a sort of conference thingy? And then people showed up and whoa, every year we've been doing it since 10th year. Wow. We must be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you do have the draw of a beautiful city that is British Columbia.
I thought you were going to say it's due to my amazing planning and cool speakers. But yes, it's a beautiful city. Vancouver is awesome. It's an ocean and some mountains.
And it is the cool speakers because we have one of them with us today. So yes, it's not just one thing that draws people to Mac DevOps.
No, I mean, we started it trying to organize people to get together to talk about some of the cool projects that we were working on in open source and working on in public in front of everybody. And Stuart has popped up and been working on this really cool project called Aftermath. How's it going, Stuart? And how's the project coming? It's been going for a year now or more?
Yeah, it's about a year and a half. So I was still at Jamf when a few of us on the detections engineering team wrote it, and we shipped it and spoke about it at the Objective by the Sea in 2022. And so it's out there as an open source project under Jamf, under their GitHub. I'm still one of the primary contributors to it, and I still really enjoy it. Unfortunately, don't spend as much time on it lately as I would like to, but it's still one of the passion projects of mine, definitely. And I think it's been going well.
I mean, it's been running a long time on my laptop. It's a great little.
it's in depth. Like a really cool, yes, it is.
It's in depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
No high level scans for you, Matt.
Yeah, Intel laptops be gone, but we need more processing power to do this kind of analysis. But yeah, it must feel great to be part of a cool project that people are using. And
Yeah. When you put an open source project out there like that, a lot of times you don't hear much, right? You see the issues pop up and things to fix or feature requests. But it wasn't until I spoke at a conference last year and I had two people come up to me and one person saying how much it's helped as they like integrated it into their workflow and all that, which was really awesome. Like just getting that kind of feedback of this makes my day easier is fantastic. Like that's the goal. That's the goal with any software. So I love hearing feedback like that. And even the stuff that can be better. Lately, since it's come out, a lot of the new development on it and things like that, I just do from my office. So not a ton of other hands in the pie. And so having other people say this feature would really help me is great. It gives me a great starting place for something new and not something that I'm just trying to come up with on my own. So it's been a great project. I've really enjoyed being a part of it.
And I guess we should back up a little bit for the people who are maybe not familiar with Aftermath. How would you best describe the purpose of this and why did you start it?
Great question. So I'm at a company called Huntress now, but previously I was at Jamf. And at the time, there weren't many incident response tools that were built for macOS. There were a few. The main ones weren't maintained anymore. They were out there. They're written in Python. So we elected to write it in Swift natively. And so it's an incident response framework that you can either pull into your own workflow or can just run as a standalone binary on the system. And you can collect all the artifacts you need from the endpoint, whether it's what items are persisting on your machine, your browser history, some of the unified logging things, what profiles are installed, and really the end goal is to give someone a holistic and full image of what happened on the endpoint. So if there's some type of malware, you can see maybe where it was downloaded from, when it started running, the different persistence plists or launch agents it dropped, if it installed in any other way, any kind of behavioral things it's doing, and gives you a place to go and then remediate those items.
I mean, it's an excellent comprehensive tool that, you know, we hear about. You know, you follow lots of random security people on Twitter like I do, you know, you get ideas of where people are looking, and this just sort of balls it all up into one big package where we're going to look at, you know, look at all the things and then give you something to analyze afterwards. So it's a great useful tool. Thank you for providing this to the world.
Of course. And the crew I had at Jamf, I still keep in touch with, and they are fantastic and provided so much insight and code as well. Matt Pagnot and Ferdal Saljuki and the director over there, Jaron Bradley. When I was there, they did a ton of work on the tool too, and a lot of thoughts and ideas and feedback and code reviews and things like that. So a huge shout out to everything.
Oh yeah, huge shout out to everybody in the project, not just Stuart. Did you do any of the Swift coding, or what was your part in the project?
I did a primarily Swift coding. So I wrote the majority of the code in the project, and still do. I really like it. It was also an excuse to really hone my Swift programming, which was pretty subpar at the time. So it was great for that. And so I wrote the majority of the code as far as what went into the tool and different aspects of it. That is where the team was invaluable. Like, what am I missing? What do we need to do here? What would be the most efficient way or performant way of aggregating all of this data that we're collecting and timelining it? So my primary role was hands-on keyboard writing Swift.
Wow.
How are you seeing folks use Aftermath now beyond your original use case?
You know, I honestly don't know. I've been on the outside looking in for the last, since I left Jamf, which was not too long after the tool came out. So I'm a little abstracted away from the use cases of the tool. I know people at my company, Huntress, if someone has an intrusion, we do like managed EDR and things of that nature. So kind of one off, let's look at the machine and see what's going on. But outside of that, I don't really know how it's used or how it's built into other people's workflows. But I've heard it is. So I hope that's the case.
Right. Okay.
Well, you heard it here, folks. If you have an incident, if you want to like dig into the aftermath, use Aftermath with your best aftershave. Yeah, tell us how you use it. And if you want, you can use it just for fun while you're recording a podcast or just randomly at all times. Run this tool and collect data. I'm interested in seeing what kind of data it pulls from my laptop and going through. Yeah, you know, just like backups, you need to test these things before you need them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's less that you need to test the backup. You need to test the recovery.
Yes, backups are cool. Restores are better. Malware incidents, security incidents are never fun, but let's learn how to deal with them, right? Is that the moral of the story?
Yeah, and I think I like the tool a lot. One of the goals of it was that it can be used by either a technical professional or like the tech person in your family, was kind of the goal. So, right, your grandmother gets something on her computer and you can run that and then actually get actionable information off of it. 100%, yeah.
Nice.
And especially as we see cybercrime just increasing over the years and how Mac is no longer immune to all of this, it's probably good to be able to collect this data and dig into what's going on.
Yeah, and that's been a really interesting myth that's evolved over the years. Like, I believe the original ad campaign was back in the mid-2000s, and I still feel like to this day, you have to remind people that Macs get viruses. And even though to people in the industry, it sounds cliche, but I still run across a lot of people, even industry professional.
Viruses are cooler. They're called zero click.
Right. Yeah. Cool buzzwordy names.
Yeah. Zero click, man. Like I can just have an iPhone. I don't have to do anything and I can just get something as long as I'm targeted by a nation state. Yeah. Yeah. Our Macs and our infrastructure, yeah, that's probably another story, but all the infrastructure we're using.
Honestly, you know, we used to think of this as just a problem for large companies and large corporations, but this definitely is becoming a problem for just everyday users, you know, up into the small, medium-sized businesses. They don't have the resources. They're not thinking that way. They generally don't have an IT support department behind them. So it's a nice attack surface. It's wide open.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Stuart, on the sort of built-in tools, X Protect Remediator, and all the other built-in tools? How do you feel? You feel like that's good enough, or it's
yeah. How much time do you guys have?
Running with.
Yeah. And part of this is going to be, I spoke about this a little at my talk, at Mac DevOps last year, kind of more specifically around X Protect and X Protect Remediator. But, this year my talk is a more broad approach to that question. So not just about X Protect, which is like the built-in AV, but, Gatekeeper and TCC and all the pieces that form that. And I think it's hard to not say that Macs are inherently more secure than Windows, like based on things like TCC, more user privacy. But if I were to look at X Protect and X Protect Remediator at this moment and say, is this enough for a business? I would say no. Like maybe for a family member who runs it as a personal computer, maybe, especially with how rapidly Apple is adding to both of those tools. But if you're an enterprise business, whether it like a small, medium business or up into large enterprise, I think you have to have something to supplement that as well. Because up until recently, XProtect hasn't had any type of behavioral based detections. It's all been static. So is this, do we know about this file? Not that there is some strange behavior that's happening on the endpoint. And so I could talk about that for hours with you guys, but I can spare you a lot of the in-depth detail.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that there are people talking about this, giving talks at Mac DevOps, giving talks, you know, wherever, people on Twitter. I mean, Howard Oakley always, like, he's writing blog posts. People are thinking and talking about them. I'm always scared to see what Chaba's posting on Twitter about, you know, bypasses. And, you know, everyone's always like finding a bypass here and there. I mean, it's better when friendly people do it than non-friendly people so that it can be addressed, but it always still scares me.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean that's nerdy. We're definitely looking forward to seeing you back in Vancouver, and we love that you've accepted to come out. So yeah, we can't wait for your next music themed inspired security talk. I'm very much approving of your.
It was a spectacular presentation last year, and we'll link to that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I love making presentations. Like, it's I actually get a lot of joy out of doing it and trying to make it interesting, not just for me, but I'm super excited to be back. I love Vancouver. I have a bunch of family in BC, so it's also a great excuse to see them and be up in Canada. Any excuse to make it up there is great by me, and what a better place to be able to come and enjoy Mac DevOps too. Like, last year was my first conference, Mac DevOps conference, and it did not disappoint. So
it's a great bar to live up to.
It's a great group of people. And, you know, we've invited a bunch of new speakers as well this year, as always, new security talks, new people. I'm really excited. I learned so much from everybody. So I'm selfishly excited to help organize this, because it's just great to be surrounded by people and hearing stuff that they're figuring out, and they take the time to present it to us in a, you know, sane, semi-organized way, with music for Stuart, of course. So it can't be missed. Join us June 20th and 21st for the talks, their main talks at Mac DevOps. June 19th, we have a workshop. A bunch of cool stuff is happening there. So join us in Vancouver for Mac DevOps. And thank you, Stuart. And thank you, JD.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
But I have one follow-up question here, and this is podcast host now, we run everything through ChatGPT. So I put Stuart's information into ChatGPT and asked it for four questions, and the thing that came up was life as a millennial girl dad. And the question is moving away from tech, can you tell us about your experience sharing personal stories and insights as millennial girl dad on Substack? So we have to explore this. I can't not pass this up, Stuart.
Oh man, that's a
wow.
Another deep rabbit hole. I could talk about this longer than I could talk about internal Mac security. I got a just over 2-year-old daughter, and every day is something new. I heard the great analogy that having a child is like having a combination lock, and you have 24 hours to solve the combination. And whether or not you solve it, it just changes the next day. And each day you're trying to solve it. And so, I do some writing on Substack just about the fun and the hard stuff. I found that when my wife was pregnant, that there were very little resources out there for dads, as far as not just what to expect, but even after you have a child. And so I've been trying to somewhat document my trip as a girl dad here in the first couple of years, hopefully as a resource to other new dads. It can be lonely. So it was hopefully a place where people can read something, and whether it's happy or sad, make you feel less alone. So, not to be on a sad note, but it's been fantastic as a dad. It's just a wild ride.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Nice. It's great that as a technologist that you are bringing documenting not just, you know, things that you find in the operating system, but also things that you discover as raising a child, right?
Yeah, it's probably the best documentation I've ever written, so.
Awesome. Sorry, I could not pass this up. It dug a lot deeper than I ever expected it to.
Yeah, wow, ChatGPT, you win 1 point. That's a great tangent. I'm also a father of some kids, some daughters. Being a parent, I won't speak for any other parent, but it certainly made me a better person. Not that I was a bad person before, but man, you set some goals for yourself. You're like, whoa, I have kids. I have to do stuff. I have to step up. It's certainly a fun ride for sure. Every chapter is a different set of goals, and wow.
Yeah. It's like, it's the five nines of uptime.
I mean, like, I have a kid going away to university. Like, how did that one day you're like, yeah, trying to get them to sleep, go to daycare, pick up from school, and then what, you're going away? Like, what? Like, I know other parents have gone through this, but yeah, when you, everything is new for you, right, as a parent. So mm-hmm. This is like, it's an amazing journey.
And since Matt has somebody going off to university, we're calling for sponsors.
we are calling for sponsors. If you want to sponsor Mac DevOps, we definitely would love to hear from you. If you want to be part of supporting this great community conference, it does cost money to rent all this space and feed people and help out people to make it there when they need help. So we appreciate any and all sponsors. So far, we want to thank, big shout out to Simple MDM, PDQ, and Fleet. So thank you so much, Fleet. Your JD has been instrumental in helping us set up a pre-conference social. So if you're in town for the conference, June 19th in the evening, we're meeting up for our social. So join us and bring your plus one, bring your family. It's a family friendly event. And there'll be food, and we'd love to just hang out and chat, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Stuart, for joining us for the Mac DevOps podcast.
Of course, anytime. It was great catching up with you guys.
Have a great day, and we'll see everybody in Vancouver. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us today for the Mac DevOps podcast. Thank you to our guests, and thank you to our co-hosts. Today's episode was edited by JD Strong. Please like and share this podcast on your favorite podcast service.
I was just going to go off the cuff as usual, and JD's like, oh, here's 20 questions we should ask him. I'm like, what? I don't want to ask 20 questions.